It's the Locked On Podcast Network. Local experts on the biggest stories.
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network. A wintry mix here in the Twin Cities with Sam Ekstrom and Sage Rosenfels. School out of session for most of the kids here in the metro, but Locked On Vikings very much in session. You can find us at LockedOnVikings.com. You can find my work, ZoneCoverage.com, and I'm joined by former quarterback Sage Rosenfels. Sage, a school day for most of the kids. Did you enjoy the school days when you were a young one in high school, middle school down in Iowa?
Yes, it was nice to have those snow days off, but at some point after you've had about three or four, you do realize your summer's being pushed later and later into, you know, late May and then into June, and so that doesn't get at some point that gets annoying. So I know the people that I know up there in Minnesota, that their kids were thrilled they had no school today. It's nice to have a snow day on a Monday more than like a Wednesday or something in the middle of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. And the instant gratification certainly is nice. You get a long weekend. However, really not much snow on the ground. It hasn't started coming down yet. You almost wish that you had like a foot of snow to go play in when you woke up that morning. That was always the best. You get your friends together, getting all nostalgic over here. So
over here in Omaha, it's been raining all night, and that's the difference, I think, in that it's about 3.5 hours north-south between the Omaha line and where Minneapolis is, and it's amazing. We have no snow on the ground here, absolutely nothing. It's just wet outside and been raining all night. It was about 55 degrees yesterday, so it's amazing the difference between Minnesota and sort of the Des Moines, Omaha line here, and just how much snow, you know, it goes up there, and it, when it comes down, it usually stays for a long time. Here, it usually does melt after, you know, a week or two.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of an ice rink out here, so be safe on the roads, everybody. Stay in and catch up on Locked On Vikings. A few talkers today, the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes heating up. The rumor mill is churning. I'll talk a little bit about the NFL Combine, some of the steam coming out of there. But first, I want to dive a little bit back into Vikings free agency plans. A certain position, or a couple positions, I should say, where I think the Vikings might consider adding some depth. The secondary. The secondary is where I want to focus today. Let's look at what they have now. They've got Harrison Smith and Andrew Sendejo, your two safeties under contract. Beyond that, they don't really have a whole lot of depth. You know, Anthony Harris was their third safety. He's a free agent. And then at corner, you know, you've got Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes, and then Terrence Newman says he'd like to play again. For the sake of the conversation, let's assume he comes back. So you've got your two starting safeties. You've got your three starting cornerbacks and Mackenzie Alexander. You had to choose one of the two positions. Where would you add some depth or competition?
Well, I think at both spots, to be honest with you, I think you got to have three safeties anymore that are solid players, and they have their superstar in Harrison Smith. Zendejo has been a guy who's just slowly improved, you know, year after year, and you know, I thought he played very well last year. He made a couple of those missed tackles. We obviously remember like the Carolina game. There's a couple of missed plays in there, but you know, the guy really is he's a hard hitting safety back there. He plays hard. He does a lot of good things. You know, he's not Harrison Smith, and you know, whether it's Harrison goes down or Andrew goes down, and that safety position is a very violent position. So you really got to have a third good player who can step in there, probably play both of them and not drop off very much. And then on top of it, I think you need four good corners. And right now, you know, as you said, you know, Newman has been in the league for absolutely ever. And you wonder, you know, does he have anything left, or can they upgrade with somebody younger and somebody cheaper? Obviously Waynes and Rhodes are sort of your starters, you know, going forward. And Waynes is getting closer to, you know, a contract extension time. They're going to have to look at that if they want to keep him in the near future. So, but he is a fast, you know, chasing man-to-man cover corner guy, and those are the types of corners that that head coach Mike Zimmer really likes.
Would you test the market, at least, on Malcolm Butler after he had that falling out in the Super Bowl? Going to be a free agent. He's probably worth a lot of money, maybe a little less money now after what happened in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, would you make a call on him just to see what he's worth?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's a good player. He was the, you know, I think the best defender, you know, for the majority of the season for the New England Patriots and, you know, the Super Bowl thing. Nobody knows what happened there. Obviously, you know, people will know that story. You know, the Patriots know the story. Butler knows the story. I'm sure other teams have been, you know, really interested in what the heck happened there that upset Belichick so bad that he did not play one of his best defenders, if not his best defender, you know, at all in the Super Bowl. And even when that secondary was really struggling in New England against Philadelphia, he still refused to put him in. And so, I, you know, that was, you know, who knows what happened there. I heard a rumor that because Butler, you know, would not sign an extension, you know, they had offered some contracts and he thought he was worth more. The basically at that point, you know, Belichick said, you know, basically, screw you. If you don't want this contract extension, we're not going to play you. And, you know, just sort of became one of those almost those pride things. And, of course, you can see Belichick being the type of coach that, you know, if somebody says no to him, to basically say, okay, well, you're not going to play. I mean, he just sort of seems to be that type of guy. So Butler's a very good player. He can play man. He can play zone. You know, you play for Belichick for 4 years. You've been coached very, very well, and he has. I don't know what he's going to be worth. I would assume that the Super Bowl benching, you know, cost him some money, but teams that liked him before, I think they'll like him just as much, even if he didn't play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and if the Vikings are going to go and sign somebody, I could see it probably having to be shorter term. You know, someone maybe a little older, like after their second contract. You know, I'm looking at Jonathan Joseph's 33, Darrell Revis, and that's probably past his prime, but he's 32 years old. Morris Claiborne on the market. Devon House from Green Bay is 28 years old. There are actually quite a few kind of, I'd say, middle tier corners on this market. And then it's safety. Another Green Bay guy, Morgan Burnett, he's 29. Quinton Demps is 32. Reggie Nelson, that's a former Zimmer guy, 34 years old at safety. That's a name that I would keep at least an eye on.
He might be sort of the Terrence Newman safety type player, the veteran guy who's been around. I remember, you know, when I was still playing, he was young. And I remember watching him playing, like, man, this guy has a ton of range and can really cover a lot of ground. Zimmer does like the veterans. You know, say like with Newman and some other spots on the football team, you know, he might be that third safety that's not just still a pretty good player, but a guy that's just a presence in that room and can almost be another coach at the safety and secondary position.
At least bring in one guy at each of those spots and bring him to camp, at least if you think they might not, you know, make the team, at least try him out. Got 90 guys on the roster, so you may as well bring in some competition, because, you know, you don't want to get complacent with this defense. Even though it was great last year, it's been great for, you know, three straight years, you don't want to get complacent and let guys decline without having someone to step in behind them. Back to the quarterback, our daily obligatory update. If you take the sum of all the rumors, if you look at it, everybody's got a source, what are people saying generally? It seems like the Vikings are very much in the Kirk Cousins mix. It seems like the Jets are actually a little afraid that he's already come to an agreement with Minnesota. That's one of the rumors out there. Some people tossing Denver out there as a logical spot. But no one really talks about Kirk Cousins to Arizona. That's sort of the other finalist, per se. Do you think Cousins to Arizona is a decent fit? I think it might be better than people think. That defense is all right. Nice climate-controlled indoor facility. Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson. You have a new coach coming in there. But what do you think about Cousins in Arizona? That's kind of the one no one talks about.
Yeah, well, I think there's multiple levels to this whole thing. I mean, the Vikings are the best team that Cousins could come to. But Arizona is one of those in the middle. You know, Cleveland's like the worst team. But yeah, as you said, Arizona, that's almost a lifestyle. What type of lifestyle does Kirk Cousins want? Does he want to be in Phoenix and playing golf in the off season? Obviously, they've got that great stadium, and the Vikings have a great stadium as well. Both be playing indoors a lot. But you know, that team is not as good as this Vikings team. So they also play in a very, very tough division out there. Now, they are only about, what, 2 or 3 years removed from getting to a championship game or getting deep in the playoffs just a couple years ago. So they're not a terrible team. It's a good spot. You still got Larry Fitzgerald, and he still has some left in the tank. And David Johnson is one of the best young running backs in this league, did not play last year. So that is a good spot. I think that'll be competition. But my guess is that you know, somebody like Kirk Cousins, my guess is that he wants to stay somewhere closer to the Midwest and in somewhere that's, in contention. He wants to be in the mix. He's been in Washington all these years, and they really haven't been that good. My guess is that he wants to be a playoff quarterback more than just, a little bit more money and a little bit better weather down in Phoenix.
Yeah, and there was a big Instagram post last week of Larry Fitzgerald with Kirk Cousins, and the caption was, "Fitzgerald's a great recruiter," or something of that kind. So you know that he's getting pushed. People are trying to sell the Cardinals on him, and I'm sure he's getting a lot of sales pitches right now. Do you think if the Vikings' pursuit of Cousins is as true as it seems, and they're really going hard after him, do you think that would deter any of the other Vikings quarterbacks, Keenum, Bridgewater, Bradford? Would that deter them then, if the Vikings had to circle back sort of as a plan B and go after those guys, would that turn them off then to maybe re-signing in Minnesota if it's clear that they weren't the first choice?
No, I don't think so. I think that Case Keenum wants, I'm sure he wants to sign back in Minnesota and for as much money as possible if Minnesota will have him. So it's not surprising that, he probably knows that Cousins is the number one free agent out there. And there's just sort of a domino effect. You have to wait till, all the pieces sort of set in place. And if the Vikings go with Cousins, Keenum will go somewhere else. If they don't end up getting Cousins, I think Keenum would be very happy to get, whether it's $50 million or $20 million or whatever that number might be, to come back to Minnesota and to be their starting quarterback next year.
Adam Schefter also tweeted out that Teddy Bridgewater has a market with multiple teams interested in him as a starter. I don't know if I buy it. I mean, Schefter's reliable, but he's also got 100 voices in his ear that are trying to get a message out. Feels to me like that's an agent of Bridgewater telling him that, hey, this guy, there is demand for this guy, kind of create the market.
Well, this is that smoke and mirrors time of the year where everyone's trying to put out false information, whether it's for free agents or whether it's for the draft. You start seeing a ton of, everyone's interested in everybody and no one's interested in anybody. It's that sort of that time of the year. I think teams have interest in Bridgewater. He played pretty dang well a couple years ago. And, and this Vikings offense really wasn't that good. I mean, the O-line was a complete disaster, and you saw the huge difference as soon as Bridgewater, as soon as he got hurt, you saw the drop in the O-line play. He covered up a lot of mistakes, so I think a lot of teams are interested either having him possibly be a starter, but at the very minimum, compete for a starting job, because there is a high ceiling of potential there. He could be a very good quarterback, but people just don't know because it's been 2 years.
Yeah, and I'm all about giving him a shot to compete. I think he could win a job. I just don't think I could commit all out that he's our number one guy. And maybe that's not what teams have in mind, and maybe that kind of got lost in translation with Schefter. A couple more kind of combine related. So Saquon Barkley ripped it up in college, tearing it up in the combine. Cleveland has the first and fourth picks, and there's steam that Cleveland might go Barkley at number one. Would you go with a running back with your first pick in this day and age, knowing sort of how the running back position is a little different than it used to be? Do you think he could be good enough, or would he merit a number one overall pick?
He looks like a special back. I mean, I don't know if he is quite what Adrian Peterson was coming out. And people realize, Adrian was just absurd in college, but he was still at the seventh pick in the draft. I mean, he fell a little bit down, and Barkley has done all of his tests have been absolutely phenomenal at or near the top in almost every type of strength or speed position. His actual game tape is unbelievable from the last couple of years. He's a special player, but it's just hard anymore with running backs because that they don't last for 12 or 15 years like a quarterback, and these teams at the top of the draft, they need a quarterback badly. So, a team like Cleveland, they've got the first and the fourth pick. If they really like one of these quarterbacks and that's the one they want, my thing is you go after the quarterback first. Barkley's a special talent, but I think you go after the quarterback first, and you can still get Barkley at the four spot. You get him at the four spot because I think the Giants, my guess is we'll be looking for a quarterback as well. But, the Giants are a team that they don't have a premier running back either. So, but Barkley could end up there. It's having a sort of a special player at a lower valued position does add a little wrinkle to the whole thing with the top five, top 10 picks in the draft.
I would debate whether I'd take Barkley in the top 10, and not because he's not good, just because I feel like you can get maybe 80% of that skill in a later round, like with Kamara last year, mid-round pick, turned out to be the best rookie back. There's value. Dalvin Cook, second-round pick. You can get that value later on, even if it seems like there's a home run.
Let's look at those Super Bowls. You know, the Rex Burkhead, I don't know where he was drafted, but he was just sort of this cheap free agent. And, there's James White and Blunt and Ajayi was a trade at midseason, but he wasn't some high draft pick. That number 30, I can't think of his name, Philadelphia.
Corey
he was
Clement.
Undrafted. He ended up being a really good player. So, so many of these NFL, the good NFL teams now, they're going to two, even three running backs, but none of them are superstars. They're all just really good players who have different skill sets.
Have you gotten caught up at all in this Lamar Jackson conversation, the Louisville quarterback? They reportedly asked him to do wide receiver drills, and he's a quarterback, he said. All the analysts I read are kind of split on Jackson. Some of them say that he's got this incredible arm. He reads defense as well, obviously has some superb athleticism. But where do you stand on Jackson as a quarterback prospect?
Yeah, I think he's a quarterback. I mean, if he wasn't a quarterback and they moved to wide receiver and he can run good routes and catch the ball, he could be a really special, wide receiver as well. But, he's a quarterback. And I like, people were talking about on Twitter the other day, wide receivers touch the ball, six, maybe eight times a game of the really good ones get, throwing the ball, that way. A quarterback touches the ball 60 or 70 times a game, basically every single snap. And so if maybe he can be one of those guys that plays quarterback and he's a backup, but they do a little stuff at receiver with him and just sort of figure out what he has. But I think if you draft him as a quarterback and see how that goes, if it doesn't work out, then you start working him to, the other positions like wide receiver. He is a special talent, and I don't think we've seen a quarterback like this, since the Vic time. People were a little bit worried about the whole Vic thing because he was just such a runner. In college, he had a huge arm, but he was such a runner. And really early on in his career, he was a phenomenal, talent and phenomenal quarterback. And Lamar Jackson does have that type of athleticism. So I think you start him off at quarterback first, and then if that doesn't work out, then move him to wide receiver.
6'3", 210, passed for 57 touchdowns, 19 picks his final 2 years combined at Louisville, and rushed for over 3,000 yards over those 2 years with 39 rushing touchdowns last 2 years for the Cardinals. That's pretty phenomenal. Teddy Bridgewater went to Louisville, had pretty good success in the NFL. We'll see how Jackson does going forward. Everyone's debating where Lamar Jackson should go, and I could definitely see a team. Only one team needs to like him. I could see a team really going after him in that first round. Last one, Shaquem Griffin ran a 4.38 40. He's a linebacker. That's nuts. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that was one of the there's a couple of big stories out of the combine so far. But basically, his left forearm just ends right at his wrist. And he has no hand. He does 20 bench presses with this prosthetic hand, a sort of grip that goes around the bar. Then he's about 6'3", 227. So he'd be a smaller linebacker, maybe even a safety. But he runs 4.38. That is the fastest time from the linebacker position in the history of the combine. And he wasn't even invited to the combine until about 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago or something like that. He was a late add, and he has just blown it up there. So he's going to get drafted somewhere, and he's absolutely a great story. He's not going to get drafted just because he's a good story. He's going to get drafted because he's going to help a football team. And at the very minimum, he's going to be on all the special teams. He's going to be some sort of swing linebacker. He might be one of those perfect guys who's sort of a small linebacker, big safety, where you can play him as the nickel will and still be strong against the run, and yet he's still fast enough to cover. So he is a special talent, and obviously has tested very, very well at the combine, and I think it's probably the feel-good story of the entire week.
Absolutely. He was part of that great Central Florida team last year. Best of luck to him going forward as well. Sage Rosenfels, a lot of hot-button talkers today. We got through a lot of stuff. We'll talk to you again middle of the week, and hopefully we have a lot more news to discuss.
Sounds great. Hope those plows get out today.
Yeah, seriously. Hopefully they get the salt on the roads, too. It's Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network, LockedOnVikings.com and iTunes. He's Sage. I'm Sam. Thanks for listening.